Welcome to the Dag Heward Mills podcast. Dag Heward Mills is a healing evangelist, a best-selling author, and a mega church pastor. He's the founder of the United Denominations, originating from the Lighthouse Group of Churches, overseeing over 3,000 churches across every continent of the world. He pastors the First Love Church, a vibrant church in the city of Accra, transforming the lives of thousands of young people for the Lord. Now listen to Dag Heward Mills.
Let us pray. Father, thank you for this opportunity. As we come before your holy word, we ask you to bless us and guide us by your spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. This evening, I'm going to share with you from Oswald J. Smith, something short, and the title is The Why and the How of Foreign Missions. Why we should have foreign missions. Amen. Why should the church evangelize the world? Number one, because God's word commands it. Number two, because God's plan demands it. Number two, how can the world evangelize? How can the church evangelize the world? Not by merely sending out missionaries, but by training national evangelists. That, my friends, should settle it. God's order is go. And that order has never been countermanded. It is still go. How dare we disobey? Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That command he follows up with this declaration. This gospel must be published among all nations. He says it must. His plan is clear. His orders are imperative. How shall they hear without a preacher? Argues Paul. Hence, we have no alternative but to go. Our Lord's commands must be obeyed. Why should the church evangelize the world? Because God's plan demands it. First is because God's word commands it. The second is because God's plan demands it. There are two verses strikingly set forth God's plan. Matthew verse 24, it says, this gospel shall be preached in all the world for a witness, and then shall the end come. In Mark, he says, the gospel must first be published among all nations. He's speaking, of course, of the end of the age. This age of war, bloodshed, poverty, sickness, and death. This age, our age of grace, is to end. And then a new age, the golden age, is to be ushered in. In Mark, he speaks about these end times, but then says that first, before these things can take place, the gospel must be published among all nations. He just says the gospel, the good news, must be proclaimed. Well, now, before he can come to establish his millennium kingdom and reign on earth, the gospel must be published among all nations. It must be preached in the world. That only delays his coming. Hence the urgency of getting his gospel out to the uttermost part of the earth. If we were to obey his last command, he would have been here by now. This age would be ended and the new age would have been ushered in. Do we want to see an end to war and bloodshed, sin, poverty, sickness, and death? Are we tired of man's rule? Are we tired of man's rule in Ghana? Are we not tired of man's rule in Ghana? Whether it is DDT or FFQ, man's rule is not changing anything in Ghana. Some talk of a better Ghana, but it seems that the Ghana is no better than it was. If anything, it's worse. Prices are higher. Petrol prices have gone higher. We were told that they were going to Matsudo, is that how? Matsudo. Masana Tudo. What does Tudo mean? Huh? I'll reduce it. Matsudo. That's what it was told. But after the Tudo has not come on, rather, what has come on? Huh? Yatudo. Yatudo. Which means what? Something has been added. But it was Matsudo. Is that correct? Matsudo has been exchanged with Yatudo. Okay. We are learning how to speak Fanti. It's fantastic. Are we tired of man's rule? Can I have an answer? Are we tired of man's rule? Do we long to see Jesus Christ, the rightful heir on David's throne? Then let us take the gospel, not to the place or places already occupied, but to those people, tribes, and nations who have never heard. Why speak ye not a word of bringing back the king? Hold prophetic conferences if you will. Discuss prophecy and preach on the second coming if you want to. But remember, you will never be able to hasten his return except by doing what he told us to do, which is to evangelize the world. Now, what are the facts? Well, there are still 1,000 languages and dialects into which no portion of the Bible has ever yet been translated, and 1,000 tribes and peoples whose tongue no missionary has yet learned. To date, the scriptures have been published in only 1,066 languages. This is 1946. Is it any wonder that he has not returned? How could he? The Bible says all nations, all the world, every creature, the uttermost part of the earth, the regions beyond, every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Jesus ministered in all the cities and villages, and he said he must preach in the next towns. And then he spoke of the other sheep. Paul went to the regions beyond and to where Christ had not yet been named. Well, now that is God's plan. His plan demands that the gospel be given to the whole world in order that this age may end and the next ushered in. So instead of spending your time, wasting your time trying to bring in a new political party, you are supposed to spend your time evangelizing the world so that the real governor and ruler of this world can come in and rule the world. And I'll rather spend my time campaigning so that Jesus Christ will come and rule this world rather than all these unbelievers who tell us things which are not true. And you see, many times it's not that they are trying to tell lies. By the way, it is, no. Because most of us, if we were presidential candidate and the incumbent has reduced the petrol price in the middle of the election as a desperate move, and you are the presidential candidate coming, would you not stand and say, Matsudo more? You would have said it. Is it not true? Matsudo more. Matsudo. And there we are. So those of you who are NPP activists and NDC activists, I tell you, you have a bad job. A bad job. Get a better job to do than that and evangelize the world for Jesus Christ. And bring in the real president and the real King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. What I don't want to see at all is one Christian who stands on behalf of an unbeliever and be declaring that this unbeliever is better than this unbeliever. Huh? You see a born-again Christian saying that NPP is better than NDC or NDC is better than NPP. You might as well blow gas onto my face than to waste my years on something as absurd as who is better than who. It's two groups of sinners and you are going to join yourself to people who are full of evil. And you see, in this world, you have to look good. But under, everybody in the world looks good, but under the good looking is greed, wickedness, lies, envy, lust. You see them standing there with suit and tie. Presenting everything in this world has to look good and fair. You have to look just. You have to look caring. But below, we all know there's evil. And you see a born again Christian. Usually it's the most carnal of the Christians who have time for such things. And your money depends on politicians. How can you build your life? No one in Ghana can tell us who is coming to be on the throne in 3 years' time. Nobody. Next week is December. Exactly 3 years from now, if the Lord tarries, there's election again. How can you tell which of these people are going to come? How can your life depend? Today, this, tomorrow, all your contracts are changing. Next time, another something is coming. Your whole life is going under. Hey! That's why, for me, you can't look at the front row and see if even there's an assemblyman here. They cannot stay here. They cannot even be here. When they come and they see that they are not comfortable here. Anyway, look, you are disturbing my message. I'm trying to read a very powerful message here. No, but I like what the guy is saying, Charlie. Are we tired of war? Are we tired of poverty? Are we tired of sickness? Then let us do what will bring the real president and the real king to town. I think he said, I've never seen such a good plan. I've never thought of such a good plan. Instead of forming a political party, evangelize the world. And the King of Kings will soon come for election. He will not even be elected. He will come without elections. Some of you, is paining you that I'm saying what I'm saying. I will say it. I cannot even find where I was reading. Okay. Now it is God's plan. God's plan demands that the gospel be given to the whole world in order that this age may end and the next ushered in. Yet 19 centuries have passed and he is still waiting for his church to carry out his orders. There are those who tell us that it will be done after the rapture or during the tribulation. What difference does it make? It has to be done either now or then. Why not do it now? The more we do now, the less we'll have to do then. I am afraid, however, that it is but an excuse to escape responsibility. To say that we will evangelize the world after the tribulation. Therefore, let us do it now. For as soon as it is done, now or then, the end will come. The gospel must first be published among all nations. The whole chapter is about the end of the age. When God says first, he means before all these age end events of which he speaks to take place. Let us evangelize the remaining 1,000 tribes, tongues, and peoples demanded by God's program in order that Jesus Christ may reign. If the governments of our so-called Christian nations knew God's plan, they would make large grants for pioneer missionary work. But instead, they hold peace conferences and spend millions on social security, thinking they can this way put an end to war and establish and maintain peace and introduce prosperity for all mankind. How ignorant they are. If they were to spend their millions on missionary work, they could have reached every tribe and nation with the gospel in a single decade and thus bring back the king who would himself put an end to this age of want and fear and usher in the millennium. Hey! Did you hear that? He's saying that if the so-called Christian nations were to spend money instead of forming conferences, peace conferences, so on, spend the millions to support missionary work, by now all our problems would have been over. Because the Son of Man would have come back to rule this world within 10 years. But they are spending their money on United Nations. What is United Nations doing? How can the church evangelize the world? Not merely by sending out missionaries. A generation ago, the student volunteer movement took as its motto the evangelization of the world by in this generation, but they failed. The world was not evangelized. Why? Because they simply sent out missionaries. It is absolutely impossible to send out a sufficient number of missionaries to occupy every town and city, let alone the villages and country communities of the heathen world. Hence, they attempted the impossible. Moreover, the expense of sending out and maintaining such a force of missionaries would be prohibitive. Hence, the church cannot evangelize the world by missionaries alone. How can the world evangelize the world? How can the church evangelize the world? By training national evangelists. What should have been done? Bible schools should have been started and native preachers trained and sent out to preach the gospel to their own people. That was Paul's method. He took very few missionaries with him, but he left elders and trained workers everywhere who carried on after he had gone. And that is what the church has failed to do. That's why we have a Bible school and we bring people from different countries and different places and train national evangelists. The natives know the language. They know it as no missionary can ever. They know too the manners and customs of their people, and it costs so little to train natives that it can easily be done. Then too, they can be supported for very little when they are at work. So little that their own people can meet their needs. What did you say? Start Bible schools at once? Yes, at once. As soon as the first missionary reaches the field, he should start a Bible school. God will save and provide the students. It has been done again and again, and almost every faith mission is doing it today. Missionaries are to be sent out to train and direct the natives rather than to evangelize them. That was the way the West Indies mission started, a Bible school. Now they have over 100 students and hundreds of graduates. These graduates have gone everywhere evangelizing, so that in 8 years, they have won over 25,000 converts and established hundreds of self-supporting churches, more than all the denominations that worked along the old lines put together. What an example. My friends, there is no other way. This is God's method, and it works. The old way of putting a missionary in a town as pastor of a church will never bring about the evangelization of that country. In some places, I have met pastors of local churches who had been missionaries for 30 to 40 years and yet had only gathered a little company of believers around their own centers of work and had done nothing for the thousands of villages and towns around them. Then I saw Bible schools established and nationals trained, and soon whole districts had been evangelized. When we do it God's way, we get results. Amen. Do you see how important the Bible school is? So many of you must support the Bible school so that we can train the natives. How many natives are here? Raise your hand if you are a native. A native of somewhere. Raise your hand. Share. You don't know that we are all natives. We are all natives. Amen. Today God is calling for pioneers. He needs a Livingston and a Judson and a Curry and a Chalmers. Where are the young men who will accept the challenge? I said, where are the young men who will accept the challenge? Why not be the first to take the gospel to some tribe or people to whom no one else has ever gone? Why build on another man's foundation? It is a choice between going to countries where others have labored or being a pioneer and going where none have ever gone. Are you going to settle down in an ordinary pastorate, contented with the monotony of an uneventful life? Or does your heart cry out for adventure? You will find it in the experiences of a pioneer missionary career. Who wouldn't welcome it to be a prospector, a pathfinder, to blaze fresh trails and open up new countries to the gospel? What an adventure. We must go forward or stagnate. There is no standing still. Advance or perish. Oh, then let us press on, ever onward, further and still further into the night. Think of the thrill of reducing a language to writing and of being the very first to translate one of the gospels into a foreign tongue. After all, pioneers are the only ones who are going to hasten the coming of the Lord and the establishment of his kingdom on earth. For they are the ones who are carrying out his plan. What a privilege. Are there no more Gilmores or Pattons or Marsdens or Moffats? Where are the pioneers of today? Young man, I challenge you, and God calls you. Be a pioneer. Soon the opportunity will pass. Night will settle down on a world doomed and lost. Antichrist will reign. Now is the time to act. There is no higher calling. There is no greater task. You know now the why, and you know too the how of foreign missions. What then is to be your part in God's great program of world evangelism? Amen. Is it a powerful sermon? All right. Now, I'm going to end it with what I call, or what he calls, missionary hardships. Missionary hardships. On Sunday, I started a bit of that, but I'm going to finish with that, and then we go home. Amen. I'm just giving the message of Oswald J. Smith. I hear I was saying Sunday, I was giving the wrong name. It's Oswald J. Smith. And it is great to hear a message from a powerful man of God. How many agree that he was a very powerful man of God? Nice. Okay. Missionary work today is very different from what it was 50 years ago. How much more today? And yet, there are still pioneer fields where heroism is demanded. And persecution rages. Trails that have never been yet blazed, where suffering is still the lot of those who venture. I want to remind the committee, said Mackay of Uganda, that within 6 months, they will probably hear that one of us is dead. One of us at least, it may be I, will surely fall before that. But what I want to say is this. When the news comes, do not be cast down, but send someone else immediately to fill the vacant place. Hey! They are sending you as a missionary, and you are telling the people that as I go, you are soon going to hear that one of us is dead. Hey! But when you hear that somebody is dead, do what? Have a funeral. No, send someone else. Is that not what they are doing in Afghanistan? I heard on the news that Obama is about to decide whether they are going to send 40,000 more troops. As they go and they are dying, they are sending more. More. We want more. So when you hear more, some have died, send more. How come when it comes to the gospel and we hear some are fallen, some are perished, then we say, it's a bad thing. No. When it's a war and you hear that one has fallen, you send more. That prediction was literally fulfilled. One by one, the members of Mackay's party either died of fever or were murdered by the natives, until before long, he was alone left. But why let hardships deter? Hear what David Brainerd had to say, a famous missionary. He said, "Here I am, Lord, send me. Send me to the ends of the earth. Send me to the rough, the savage pagans of the wilderness. Send me from all that is called comfort in earth, or earthly comfort. Send me to death itself, if it be but in thy service and to promote thy kingdom." Yes, and listen to Francis Xavier. "Yet more, oh my God, more toil, more agony, more suffering for thee." But today's Christians are lifting their hand. More. Lord, we want more. Bless us. Receive 12 houses. Receive 12 beloveds. Receive 12 cars. Receive 12 husbands. Receive 12. We are opening our mouth to receive it. But Francis Xavier will say, more agony. More agony. More toil. More suffering. My friend, the gospel is the gospel. No matter who waters down the gospel remains the gospel. If Jesus Christ be God and died for me, then no sacrifice can be too great for me to make for him. If Jesus Christ, that's what C.T. Studd said. If Jesus Christ is God, if he is God, and he died, God died for me, then what is it that I cannot do for God? There is no sacrifice too great for me to do for God. Amen. Strange it would be to read the life of Carey and keep back tears. Even the directors of the East India Company opposed his work. The sending out of missionaries into our eastern possessions is the maddest, most extravagant, most costly, most indefensible project which has ever been suggested by a moonstruck fanatic. This is what somebody said about missionary work. That is mad. It's stupid. It has been suggested by a moonstruck fanatic. Such a scheme is pernicious, imprudent, useless, harmful, dangerous, profitless, and fantastic. It strikes against all reason and sound policy and brings the peace and safety of our possessions into peril. It's a stupid idea. Stand up, come. Some of you missionary guys, come, who are with me, come. Come, look at them. You went to which university? Huh? Cape Coast University. And you went to which school? UST. You studied what in UST? Planning. And you are what? UST. Missionaries. And you are what? Cape Coast University. You see, it takes a moonstruck. This one says it's a pernicious. It is fighting all against our security and safety of all our possessions. And this one is, you went to which school? Legon. You studied what subject? Political science. You see? And look at nice young men. And you are sending this one to, one of them is supposed to go to Guinea, where there is a coup. And this one is to go to Liberia, where there is a war, which has just finished. And to Madagascar, where there is political uncertainty. You see, that is why somebody wrote that. The sending out of missionaries is the maddest, most extravagant, most costly, most indefensible project which has ever been suggested by a moonstruck fanatic. You see, and he said, such a scheme is what? Is pernicious. I have to check the meaning of that. Imprudent. Pernicious means what? Having a harmful effect. Especially in a gradual or subtle way. It's pernicious, imprudent, useless, harmful, dangerous, profitless, and fantastic. I think the funniest one is the fantastic. It is fantastic to send such people, nice young men with bright futures, who could have been in London doing their masters or in America doing their PhD, developing their socioeconomic status. And he says that it brings the peace and safety of all our possessions into peril. It's making us move into danger. Now, in 1796, the General Assembly of the Church of Scotland, now these churches are all dead churches now. They have sold their churches to mosques. Yeah. Listen to what they said in 1796. They said that to spread the knowledge of the gospel among barbarous and heathen nations seems to be highly preposterous. Check preposterous. Check preposterous quickly. Who is the dictionary there? One, ridiculous. Ridiculous. Now, one speaker in the House of Commons said that he would rather see a band of devils let loose in India than a band of missionaries. He said he would rather prefer to see a band of devils released into India than a band of missionaries. Preposterous. Utterly absurd or ridiculous. And yet, in the midst of his deepest trials, he was praying. He said, why is my soul disquieted within me? Things may turn out better than I expect. That was a missionary, Carey. He became the father of all modern missions that we have today. Go ye into all the world. And they believed that that command was only for apostles, not for us today. Finally, when he went, he was burdened with two unsympathetic women. Which type of women are you burdened with, young men? His wife, number one, and her sister. Charlie, I hope you are not going with your wife's sister. And four helpless children. And then an assistant, a colleague who was an eccentric. Check eccentric. Eccentric and hopelessly in debt. His assistant who had been given to him was in debt as he was following him. Eccentric is what? Unconventional and what? Slightly strange. The assistant that he has got to go with him on the mission field was unconventional and slightly strange. He has tilted a bit. Did ever a man face the task of world evangelism under unfavorable circumstances? Yet he stood the test and became the father of modern missions. His life reads like a book of fiction. The reason so many oppose missions is because they are ignorant. They have never visited a mission field for themselves. That is borne out by the experience of the famous novelist. Here is what he says. I had conceived a great prejudice against missions in the South Seas, and had no sooner been there than that prejudice was at first reduced and then at last annihilated. Those who deblaterate against missions have only one thing to do, to come and see the mission on the spot. They will see a good deal of good done. They will see a race being forwarded in many different directions. And I believe if they be honest persons, they will cease to complain of mission work and its effects. What a splendid testimony. Is it in your dictionary? Out of coverage area. Okay. Today, missionaries go home every few years, but not so the pioneers. Some of them never saw the homeland for 15 or even 20 years. Some only saw the homeland once or twice in a lifetime. Many of them went back never to return. Like David Livingston and the martyred Chalmers, they died at their post. It would be hard to read the life of that lonely bereaved figure, James Gilmore of Mongolia, and not realize something of the suffering which he passed. But of all those whose lives I have studied, no one has touched my heart like Judson of Burma. What Judson suffered, no tongue can tell. That awful nightmare in the Burmese prison will never be forgotten. Such anguish is beyond the power of human words to describe. How vividly Mrs. Morrow portrays it in her soul-stirring book, The Splendor of God. No one would ever dream of living in the tropics unless he were either after money or souls. Yeah. No one will ever dream of living there. The temperature is 38 degrees outside today. Unless you are after money or souls, or you don't have visa. I'll have to add that one. Think of having to spend one's life in the West Indies, the Netherlands, East Indies, Africa, India, or the South Sea Islands. Only those who have done so know how the humid climate saps one's vitality and the unbearable heat makes life miserable. Think of the disease of the tropics, the fevers, the insects, and the other pestilences. Who would exchange the invigorating frosts of the temperate zones for such a life? And the light-offs. He doesn't know about the light-off. Then too, and talking about missionary hardships, then too, think of the difficulties of language study. It is no easy thing to master a new tongue. Many of God's servants have struggled with a foreign dialect until they have felt like giving up in despair. Possibly, the most difficult problem is that of finding congenial companions. Missionaries are human. Temperaments differ. So hot was the contention between Barnabas and Paul that they had to separate. That experience has been repeated again and again. Workers may be spiritual and yet so constituted that they cannot get on with each other. And Satan is not slow to take advantage. He will introduce discord if he can. More than one splendid worker has had to leave the field because he has been unable to get along with his fellow missionaries. Some have even had to come home. Moreover, there is loneliness and separation to be considered. Loneliness that every missionary must experience. The home he has known in childhood, scenes to which he has become accustomed, friends and relatives, modern streets and cities, civilization with all its comforts, this must be forsaken for an entirely different environment. He must live in a country where everything is strange, where even the people think and act in a way hitherto unknown. Periods of loneliness never before experienced will be his. Loneliness that at times becomes almost unbearable. And not only loneliness, but sickness. Sickness where there are few, if any, hospitals, doctors, or nurses. To be ill at home, surrounded by every comfort and with every variety of food is one thing. But to be ill in a foreign land, in the midst of strangers, is another thing. The depression caused by fever, who can describe it? Who can describe the depression caused by fever? To follow David Livingstone through his numerous periods of sickness in the fever-infested jungles of Africa is to get some idea of what it means to be ill on a foreign land. Perhaps the greatest hardship of all will be the leaving of children behind. And that cross no one can understand except those who have borne it. For a few years, the children remain on the field. But when the time comes that they must leave and go to school, where? Without father, without mother, they grow up until when their parents return home, they scarcely recognize them. The heartbreak of life in a foreign land, with the children at home thousands of miles away, is simply indescribable. Yet such burdens must be borne and such difficulties faced if the gospel is to be proclaimed in the regions beyond. Somewhere in the great dread forest of Brazil lie the mortal remains of three brave pioneers of the kingdom of Christ. Their spirits have joined the Lord triumphant around the throne. Their full story of their last days may never be known to us. It is known only that by that band of wild savage Indians, the Kayapos, who as far as we can gather, ambushed and massacred them. I refer to the three Freds who were clubbed to death in 1935. This was their last message. Brethren, stand by us as one man. Should the result be that we, that which we least want, pray and send others out to continue what the Lord has commenced. In a letter they wrote as follows. Should the Lord's will be that we be taken, our prayer is that more men and more money will be rushed over to follow up this advance. In another letter written on the trail, they said, at any time on this advance, we expect arrows to down on us. And then when we meet the Indians, the Lord will have to work in a wonderful way to save us from their clubs, which by which they have killed many others. But the Lord did not see it fit to save them. Their lot was martyrdom. They died. Hey. Richard Williams was dying from starvation, a martyr's death. Among his last words were these: I have felt, come life, come death, God's will would be my choice. And before he breathed his last, he wrote, should anything prevent my ever adding to this, let all my beloved ones at home rest assured that I was happy. I was happy beyond expression, beyond all expression, the night I wrote these lines, and would not have changed situations with any man living. Let them also be assured that my hopes were full, blooming with immortality, that heaven and love and Christ were in my heart, and that the hope of glory, the hope laid out for me in heaven, filled my whole heart with joy and gladness, and that to me to live is Christ and to die is gain, and that I can say I am in a trace betwixt two, to abide in the body or to depart to be with Christ. Truly, Richard Williams had caught the vision. With him died the sailor saint, Captain Alan Gardner. Slowly, Captain Alan Gardner starved to death. A little rice, 2 cakes of chocolate, 6 mice, and 1 pound of salted pork was all that was left to sustain the lives of himself and his heroic companions. A little rice. 6 mice. If I give you 1 mouse to eat tonight. Did you hear what I'm saying? I said, if I give you 1 mouse. Have you ever eaten a mouse? As a missionary. You see, he said, missionary work is different 50 years ago. But now it's even more different. And this is the way he faced this salted pork and mice. My prayer is that the Lord my God may be glorified in me, whatever it may be. That he will, should we fall, send forth other laborers into the harvest, that his name be magnified and his kingdom enlarged in the salvation of multitudes. What courage! And as he reached the end, he said, blessed be my heavenly Father for the many mercies I enjoy. The man who was starving to death, he saw mercies and he saw enjoyment. Many of us only complaints. You have a fan in your room, right? You are complaining. He said, I enjoy a comfortable bed. No pain. I don't have pain. Or even cravings of hunger. Although excessively weak and scarcely able to turn in my bed, at least it is a very great exertion. But I am by his abounding grace kept in perfect peace, refreshed with a sense of my Savior's love. Finally, on a lonely, hostile Patagonia, the last survivor passed to his reward. And thus the scene is pictured. All was still on that shore and on the sea, the unburied matters lay. No slow and painful footsteps in the shingle now. No reverent words of praise and trust whispered by the faint breath of the dying man. God had sent his messenger to stay the suffering of the saints. They rested in peace. 3 volleys of musketry were fired over their graves, and slowly the mourners returned to the ship. See, when they came, they found their bodies there. They buried them and they went back. And once more the tide rose and fell on that desolate shore. The seabirds mingled their cries with the sobbing of the wind. The dirge of many waters sounded by the graves fell noiselessly, covered with its mantle of white, the place where the saints slept. Yes, indeed, Captain Alan Gardner and his brave companions had caught the vision. Not even one combat did they win. Alone they suffered. Their wives, their loved ones, and their families were far away. Alone, help came too late. Yet they gladly gave their lives for the savage Indians of dark, benighted Patagonia. But did they die in vain? No. The blood of the martyrs soon became the seed of the church, and a glorious harvest followed. Someone had to pioneer, and Gardner answered the call. Can we do less? Amen. Well, brothers, you see, this is Christianity. A lot of the thing that we are talking about is, honestly, it's not real Christianity. I tell you. So God should have mercy on us, and God should grant us grace, so that we will become real Christians, whom we are supposed to be. No matter who paints the gospel in a different way, does not make it right. Amen. Let us press forward towards the mark of true Christianity, the true religion of taking up a cross and giving up ourselves for Him. May God bless us as we serve Him. And may He help us. And even if we don't win many souls. You know, when I started Healing Jesus Crusade, I was determined. I said, even if people don't come, I will still have the crusade. Every town, in any place that I can get. Even if people don't come, I'll preach. That is the gospel. Whether souls are won or not, you give your life and you give your heart, and God will bless you and God will bless us all. Amen. Stand to your feet and let's close. Missionaries. Somebody said he would rather send a band of devils, see a band of devils loose, than a band of missionaries. Maybe that is a message even in our hearts, that we would rather see a band of devils than a band of missionaries. May God have mercy on our soul. Lift your hand and thank God. Thank you. Father, we thank you for your great blessing upon us as we serve you. As we follow you, we give you thanks. We give you praise. We give you glory. Mama Rashanda Lebeke Mandalaba. Parindo Lembrigese Talamando Lemende Shemene Le Kabara. Paloro Lolo Moshinta Lamama Kabalandalaba. Karolomo Shipalade Parada Malandale Lebebene. Mando Sandalama Kabaralama. Oh yes. Oh Lord, there's so much that we have to do, Lord, to serve you.
Lord, there's just so much to be done, oh Lord. So many souls to be won. Oh Lord, this world is falling apart. Dying for love from a broken heart. Oh, here am I. Send me, though there's really not that much I can do. What I have seems so small, wanna give it all to you. Oh Lord, you said the harvest is great, but Lord, looks like the workers are late. It's getting hard to understand how we ignore your great command. Oh, here am I, send me. Though you said the ones you've chosen are few, still my heart hears the call. I wanna give it all to you. Oh, oh, just to reach the ones nobody does. Give up my pride, even working the mud. I wanna be like those who spill the blood and give it like one. Just so much to be done, oh Lord. So many souls to be won. Oh Lord, this world is falling apart, dying for love from a broken heart. Oh, here am I, send me. Though there's really not that much I can do, what I have seems so small. I wanna give it all to you. Oh Lord, you said the harvest is great, but Lord, looks like the laborers are few. It's getting hard to understand how we ignore your great command. Oh, here am I. Oh, you said the ones you've chosen are few. Still my heart hears the call. I wanna give it all to you. Oh Lord, there's just so much to be done, oh Lord. So many souls to be won. Oh Lord, this world is falling apart, dying for love. A broken heart. Oh, here am I, send me. Though there's really not that much I can do, what I have seems so small. I wanna give it all to you.
How many wanna give it all to him? There's not so much we can do, but Lord,
oh Lord,
oh Lord,
there's just so much to,
so
be,
much
done,
to be done,
oh Lord. So many,
so
souls,
many souls
to
to be one.
Oh Lord, this world is falling apart, dying for love from a broken heart. Oh, here am I, send me. Though there's really not that much I can do, what I have seems so small. I wanna give it all to you.
Father, we thank you for this great privilege to love you and to serve you. Thank you, Jesus, for your great blessing. We lift our hands and we say, Lord, we feel so far from real Christianity, and we pray for forgiveness, Lord. And we pray, Lord, that you would make us nearer true Christianity. Have mercy on us. Please don't kill us, Lord. Give us an opportunity to change and to become Christians as your word describes. Have mercy on us, Lord, we pray. We pray for your grace to help us, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Amen. So every head is bowed and every eye closed. If you are here and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you want to say, Pastor, please pray with me. I want to give my life to Jesus Christ. I want Jesus to come into my heart and make me a new person. Maybe somebody invited you, but you don't know Jesus as your Savior. Pastor, pray with me. Help me to know God. You know, maybe if you die today or tomorrow, you don't know whether you go to heaven or hell. But you want to say, Pastor, help me today, today. Pray with me now. I want Jesus to save me and wash away my sins. If you are here like that, just lift up your right hand. Where you are standing, lift it up high. And I'm going to pray with you. God bless you. Lift it up high. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. If you've lifted your hand, I want you to come from where you are standing. Come to me all the way in the front here. Just come from the back. Come from the side. If you lifted your hand, just come. Oh Lord.
Oh Lord. There's just so much to be done. Oh Lord.
Come to Jesus.
So many souls to be won. Oh Lord, this world is
come, I want to pray with you. Jesus, come into my life. Change my life. Make me a new person.
Here am I, Lord.
Thank you. Come, let me pray with you. Come on. Come to Jesus tonight. God bless. Oh, clap for them as they come. Come tonight. God wants to change your life. God wants to save you. Come to the Lord. Come to the cross. Lift up your hands. Those of you in front here also lift your hands up. Close your eyes and let's pray. Pray from your heart. Say with me, Lord Jesus, thank you for today. Please forgive me for my sins. Pray from your heart. Say, Lord Jesus, please forgive me for my sins. Tonight, I come to the cross. Oh God, I know I am a sinner. Have mercy on me. Please wash away my sins. Tonight, I receive Jesus as my Savior and my Master. Oh God, oh God, please have mercy on me. Please wash away my sins with your precious blood. From tonight, I will serve you. Say, Jesus, from tonight, I will follow you. Thank you, Lord. Please write my name. Please write my name in the book of life. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me tonight. Now say after me, Satan, listen carefully. From tonight, I will not serve you again. Satan, from today, it is finished. I belong to Jesus. Lift your hand and say, thank you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Say, thank you, Jesus, for saving me tonight. Thank you, Lord, for your blood. In Jesus' name, amen. Give the Lord a mighty, mighty clap offering. Amen. God bless you all. God bless you all. God bless you all for coming to give your life to Jesus tonight. Amen. You know, somebody asked, does this little prayer do anything? Yeah. When you're going to get married, you just stand there. You say, I do. And you say, I do. And suddenly you are married. And that's how it is. You stand here and you say, yes, Jesus, I believe. I receive you as my Savior. And suddenly you are born again. You belong to heaven. You don't belong to the devil. You belong to God. Hallelujah. So, if you look this way, you see one of our pastors is waving his hand here. I want you to go with him. He's going to give you a gift from me, one of my books. And then you come back and join us. All right? God bless you. Please go with our pastor right here. Oh, give them a mighty hand. God bless you. Give a mighty, mighty clap offering. So much.
Oh, Lord. There's just so much to be done. Oh, Lord. So many souls to be won. Oh, Lord, this world is falling apart. Dying for love from abroad.
How many of you want God to use you? How many are wondering whether we are really Christians? Are you wondering with me? I'm really, really questioning my Christianity and my calling. I tell you, I'm not joking. I have so many questions about what I'm doing. Whether my life fits. How my life is measured in heaven. I tell you. And One of the things that worries me is the death of pastors all around. It's very worrying because the death of a pastor is no accident. It's a withdrawal from the field. It's a player who was playing and was called off the pitch. The reason for calling the player, me when I'm watching soccer, I don't understand why they, I never know who is going to be pulled off. Do you? Suddenly we see, they say number 14 should come off and number 7 is going on. The common man doesn't know why. Just a few people know why. Sometimes 3 minutes to time, then they bring somebody. You wonder what he's coming to do. You don't even understand it. Then you find out there's some reason. So that they don't want somebody to get hurt because of the next match. Sometimes the person hasn't done anything, but he's just pulled off. But it makes me wonder whether we are doing well and whether we please God. So I want us to just pray for a moment. You can kneel down if you want. You can stand if you want. You can do whatever you want. But just commit yourself to God because I'm worried. I don't know about you. Just pray, Lord. Lord, I don't know what to do, Lord. Help me, Lord. I don't know whether I'm a real Christian. Father, have mercy on us.
So many souls to be won. Lord, this world is falling apart. Dying for love from a broken heart. Oh, here am I, send me. Lord, there's really not that much I can do. What I have seems so small, but I want to give it all to you.
Yes, Lord, yes,
Lord. Oh, Lord, you set the...
Lift your hand and ask God for His mercy. Lord, use us. Lord, send us, Lord. Lord, touch us, Lord.
It's getting hard to understand how we ignore your great command.
Oh, we ignore your great command.
Here am I, send,
send me, Lord. Jesus.
Still my heart hears the call, and I want to give it all to you.
Thank you, Lord, for your blessing. Thank you for your mercy. Receive the mercy of God. Receive the grace of God. God has given us His mercy and His grace.
To be one, when all this world is falling apart, dying for love.
Stand on your feet and lift up your hands to the Lord. Father, we thank you for this great blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. I feel God has given us another chance. I feel it in my heart. Amen. I feel it in my spirit. How many believe that God is giving us a chance? A chance to serve Him properly and to live for Him properly with the right priorities. I believe that God is giving us another chance. If you are one of the people who God is giving another chance, then lift your hand and give the Lord a shout of thanksgiving and a shout of hallelujah. Amen.
Oh, oh Lord,
you may be seated.
There's just so much to be done, oh Lord. So many souls to be won. Oh Lord, this world is falling apart.
God bless you for listening to this message. Visit www.daghewardmills.org today for more audio and video messages, information on upcoming events, and so much more. Make sure you subscribe to this podcast to receive new messages every single day. And remember, God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind.